Thank you very much again for coming out tonight. We're so grateful, and we just sang this song, and we think of how serious it is, and we're not trying to scare you, because the Bible does talk about the things that we were just singing of, and that's how serious the gospel is. God wants to save you. He loves you, and tonight we're here to talk about what God has done to save us. So let's turn with me to Luke 10, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's about the Good Samaritan. Luke 10 and verse 25. We'll just read verse 25 for context. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, that is the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And now we get into the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and they wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. When thinking about the gospel, this story actually really gives a very nice, overview of what the gospel is. We find here 3 things that I want to speak on. We find that there is sin, that there is a sacrifice, and there is surrender. Sin, sacrifice, and surrender. And as we look through this parable, we will see how we can apply this to the gospel and how it is meant for the gospel. I think that is really beautifully put. I know growing up, when we were told in a religious way, that this parable speaks of the Good Samaritan, and we are the Good Samaritan, and we should do good unto others. While that is nice and true, it goes way deeper than that. We are really not really Good Samaritans. We are sinners, and I think this story will bring out that we are indeed sinners and wretched and in need of a Savior. So here we find a certain man went down from Jericho from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now here we have sin. What is the picture of these thieves that wounded him? It is a picture of sin. Now sin has done this to us, and we find in this man that this man is a picture of each one of us and how sin has actually wounded him, just like these thieves came and they struck him down to the ground and they beat him and they took everything that he had and left him for half dead, it says. And down in the pit, that man is lying, totally helpless. And isn't that such a picture of you and me tonight? And how God looks upon mankind, and he looks at every single person, and each person is found there in the ditch of sin. And each one is found wounded by sin and beat and broken. And we know what sin does. We don't have to look very far. We don't even have to look into the jails, the penitentiaries. We don't have to look into the, if you want to go downtown and see what sin does, or you want to go to a war-stricken country and see what sin does, the destruction that sin has brought. If you want to go into Hollywood, and there you will find the wretchedness of sin. But you know what, tonight we don't have to look very far, and we look here in our own hearts, and there we find that we are sinners indeed. We are wretched to the core. We are depraved. The Bible says that from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, we are full of putrefying sores before God. You see, dear friend, tonight, we might look at our fellow man and compare ourselves one with another. And we could say, maybe I'm not as bad as those people in the penitentiary in Stonewall, for example. I'm not as bad as them. And we might look even at our brothers and sisters. And not very far, we can look at each example here in our lives. And we might be thinking, wait a second, I'm not quite that bad. And we compare ourselves one with another. But the Bible says that God is a holy God. He is holy. That's the God of the Bible. We're preaching to you the God of Scripture, the real God, the one that made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in heaven. He made the stars also, the Bible says, the Creator. And we find that this God, Scripture says, is holy. We find there in Isaiah that the prophet Isaiah is talking about God, and he says he is holy, holy, holy. Religion tells you of a God that will let you into heaven just because he is gracious and merciful, and he's going to overlook your sin. No, the God of the Bible will not overlook sin. He cannot. Do you know why? Because he is a holy God. And you find even in Revelations, you go to Revelations, the last book of the Bible, and there you find again the same three letters or words describing God. He is holy, holy, holy. So this is the God that we're dealing with, the God of the Bible, the Creator, the one who made you and I. And we find that he is holy. So if we look at his standard, not at one another, but if we look at God, the holy God, and we find in Scripture that God has given us a law, and you might know the law, the Ten Commandments. I believe even the law is written in our hearts, the Bible says. We know what is right and what is wrong. But we also have a law that we can look at. And this law tells us, thou shalt not. And we look at our own hearts. For example, The law says thou shalt not covet. And if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with myself, we know that we have wanted something that is not ours. We have coveted. Our hearts have wanted something that's not ours, something that is another's, and we have coveted in our hearts. That actually is what sin is. It is breaking God's law. And that is even just one example. And we find many more. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. And what have we done? We have lied. So all of a sudden, we come to Romans chapter 3, and it says, every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world shall be guilty before God. The whole world. It says every mouth. And tonight here in Winnipeg, 2026, that's every mouth here shall be stopped. We are guilty before God. His law does not discriminate. It applies to all, and all have fallen short. It says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here we find this man in the ditch, and that is where we find ourselves. And you think about what would have happened if this man would have stayed in the ditch and nobody would have helped him. What would have happened? Well, I think we know that the answer would be he would have died shortly thereafter. And if we think of ourselves, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is real consequences. Because God is holy, sin has to be judged before a holy God. And the Bible says that those who are going to reject the gospel, those who are going to say no to God's provision, it says that they will actually be cast eventually into the lake of fire. And that's why earlier when we were singing these songs, it sounds so scary, doesn't it, if you're not sheltered under the blood of Christ. I can only imagine what somebody who is not yet born again, saved, can feel when they sing these songs. I remember the time when I got saved, and I remember sitting in that old gospel hall there in West End and hearing this message, and I remember the terror and the fear that went through my heart when I realized for the first time that I was lost. That I was lost, I was a guilty sinner, I was down in that ditch, stripped, wounded, half dead, and ready to die. And I was heading to a lost eternity. I was heading towards hell. And I realized there I was in the water that felt like it was going to take me under. I was in quicksand, and that fear was real. And tonight, is this where you're at? Is this where you're at, where you're feeling the unsteadiness in the quicksand that you're standing on? If you're standing in your own righteousness tonight, if you're standing in your own, if you're seeing yourself as a good person, thinking you might make it into heaven, religion tells you that. Religion says you can never be sure, but you might make it into heaven and you might not. I tell you on the authority of the scriptures, if you're outside of Christ, if you're not standing on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, you are in quicksand and you're going to go to hell if you refuse him. And that is the real reality from scripture. You are like this man here and you cannot do a thing. And you find here religion coming along. If you go down to verse 32, or actually verse 31, it says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." What's the second guy going to do? "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. So they saw this man in the ditch and passed by on the other side." My dear friend, tonight I want to share with you, religion is cruel. Religion, man-made religion that is apart from Scripture, that does not find its authority from the Word of God, is cruel. It is really from the devil. And we find here in this, these two people coming by, and they see this man down there, wounded, half dead, ready to die. And what do? They walk, not up to him, on the other side. And do you know what this speaks of? The helplessness and the hopelessness of religion. They actually cannot help you. These people are such a perfect picture of what religion, man-made religion, traditions, rules, they cannot save you. They cannot help you. They cannot touch you. They can do absolutely nothing but leave you to die. On the contrary, even worse, they can give you false hope, a false ground that is not the ground of peace. They can give you the ground of uncertainty. I grew up like this, and you might have grown up like this as well. God does not want us, you, my dear friend, tonight. God loves you. He does not want you to gamble, to take a gamble on your soul, to say, maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't. God, eternity is too long. Listen, eternity is too long for you to find out that you're lost when you die. You need to find that out today. If you've never trusted Christ, if you've never had a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to find that out tonight and know where you stand. Eternity is too long to be wrong. So you come here to this, but what is the answer? We find God, earlier we talked about God is a holy God, but you know God is also a God, the Bible says God is a God of love. It says God is love. So in his very character, as he is holy, so is he loving. As he is a God of judgment, so is he a God of mercy and a God of compassion. He is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not a God that you can make up in your own image. He is not just one and not the other. He is both. And in the gospel, you will find that God satisfied his holy claims against sin. He was just, but he also is the justifier. He can save you because of what he has done. And we'll get into this here. But a certain Samaritan came. As he journeyed, and this is a picture of Christ, he comes along and he loves. See his heart. Look at his heart. Look how he is different than religion. See the contrast. Verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." And here we find the length of what God will go through to bring us back to himself. It is not God, when he made mankind and he gave us a law, it is not God who broke the law. It is us who broke the law. We went away from God in our sin. And God said, you know, I love my creation. I love mankind. And the very time when Adam and Eve in the garden sinned, God already at that time, he wanted to bring people back to himself. He loved to walk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He loved fellowship, walking in the cool of the day with people. He loves people. He loves you tonight, my dear friend. He loves you. And he loves people. And you find here that God sent his son, the Bible says. He came where he was. Isn't that such a beautiful picture of Christ? How God, it says, he sent the Son to do what? To be the Savior of the world. And how is Christ going to be the Savior of the world? Well, first of all, he's going to become a man. In order to take away our sin, to bring us back to God, he is going to become a human being. God incarnate, God come down. It's, the Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. He became a true man. The one who came out of Bethlehem, in Micah we read, is the one who is from eternity. He is God and he is man. There is nobody in the world that ever was like him. And we find in Christ, there's none like him in his love. And we find here in this picture, this is such a picture of the heart of God and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to where he was, very right down into that ditch. And there he is with that man. He became like a man. He became a true man, the Bible says, apart from sin, because he is God himself. He cannot sin. Scripture says that he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, he is separate from sinners. There is nobody like him. Tonight we're preaching unto you a person, and this person is Jesus. We're sharing with you the only man who is the answer for our need. And this person is Jesus Christ. And it says this, and he came where he was. He came down to this earth, to planet earth. And it says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So here we have Jesus going down and seeing him. Does he go to the other side? No, he doesn't. Religion goes to the other side because they cannot help you. Jesus goes right down. And if you see yourself tonight as that one down in that ditch, wounded, stripped, full of sin, helpless, Jesus comes right to you. Personally, personally, he comes to you. And it says he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Look how tender he is. He's walking, and now this man is sitting on Jesus, or on this Samaritan's beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Took care of him. And I just love this next verse. It says, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He paid it all. He paid everything. This man, what did this man pay? What did this man do? He did nothing. What did the Good Samaritan do? He took care of him. Picked the man out of the ditch, put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn, paid for his initial, whatever it's going to cost, he paid for that. And he said, if there's anything more, I will pay everything. And we think of the cross. My dear friend, tonight, we talked about sin, and now we're talking about the sacrifice. On the cross, Christ paid for our sins. He paid it all that we might not be wounded anymore, that we might not be wounded in sin. He took it away, nailing it to his cross. And we find there between heaven and earth, we find Jesus Christ. And what has he? How can we find such a perfect man who is God himself? How in the world do we find him on the cross? And we think of the heart of man, first of all, when we think of how wicked man is, we see them saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. They don't want Jesus Christ. Here we have God, the perfect man, coming down and living before people, only loving, only having compassion on them, as we read here. He has love, and he never turned. We don't read of any time anywhere that Jesus turned anyone away. It says all who came to him, or he says it himself, all who come to me, I will never cast away. I will never cast out. His heart is gentle. He is lowly and meek in heart. And we find them saying, away with him. Isn't that a picture of your heart and my heart? We can easily, quickly say it was them. No, that would have been me. Because we are not better. We're made of the same stuff. The Bible says we're all of the same lump in Romans 9. Of the same lump. There's not one better than the other. We are all the same before God. And that's what we would have done. Away with him. And that's how wicked our hearts are, wounded in sin. And then we find on the cross, not only did men put this precious man on that cross, stripped of his clothes, shame before all to see, in shame and ignominy, public shame, they looked upon this person called Jesus, the one who's only ever loved, and we find him on the cross. How can that be? And not only that, we find him there with a crown in his head. And then all of a sudden, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of the day, there is darkness. I believe it's in Gospel of Luke. It says, the sun was darkened. The sun was darkened. And I might ask you tonight, why was the sun darkened? Darkened, which means that not only was there darkness here in Canada or in South America or in Europe or in Israel, there was darkness over all the world. There was not one spot in the world that was light. And I think it was a supernatural darkness that they would have had in Egypt where they could not see their hand in front of their face. A supernatural darkness. And nobody could see what God did to his son. And we find a cry in the darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Why was Jesus forsaken by God? Now, I wish somebody would have asked me many years before I got saved, because I would not have had an answer. I wouldn't have known. But I want to share with you tonight from Scripture that we read in Corinthians, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we find there, he was made sin for us. Whatever that means, God laid upon Jesus all of our sin. We read in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sin. The punishment for our peace was on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He was there as a substitute. He took my place. And that is why Jesus was there. So anyone, if I ever die, I will be in heaven. Do you know why? It is not because Daniel is a good person. It's the opposite. I am not a good person, but Jesus died for me. He took away all my sin. There is not even one remaining because he was wounded for me. He was crushed for my sin. The punishment for my peace was on this precious person. And by his stripe, I am healed. Can you say that tonight? Why was he on the cross? Why was he forsaken? It's because of our sin. And it even says a little bit further in Isaiah 53, it says, he that is God has put him, that is Jesus, to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. We read further. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, again we find, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every single one of us. So that is what God has done here. He came down to where we were. He came down and he took us. And he took us to an inn. And he says, if there's anything left, I will repay. I will pay it all. And there on the cross, Jesus said, at the end of those three dark hours, he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. The work is done. And we find that in the temple where God would have dwelt in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, where only the high priest once a year could go into the holiest of all, and there once a year in a day of atonement, he could go in behind this curtain where God dwelt with his people. And when Jesus cried out with that loud voice, it is finished, it says, the next verse says, and a veil in the temple was cut from top right down to the bottom. Not from the bottom up, because you could say maybe a person did it. No, God did it from the top to the bottom, saying, now there is access into my holy presence by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. What are you resting on tonight? Are you resting in Jesus' blood? Are you resting in Christ? And the next S I want to speak, and we spoke of sin. We spoke of the sacrifice. And now I want to talk about surrender. And if you look at this person here, this man who was in the ditch, who was taken to the inn, what did he do? Did he say, no, don't help me? No, he surrendered. He let the Lord Jesus, or this Good Samaritan, come and take him. And took him to the inn. And we never read of him giving a fight. No, he surrendered. And that is what God wants you to do tonight. If you have never trusted in Jesus, if you have never been saved by his blood, tonight God wants you to surrender. God wants you to give up. Lay your deadly doings down, one hymn says, and just trust in Jesus. Rest in him. Surrender to Christ. Scripture says this. It says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what God's word says. If God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Please tonight, my dear friend, don't let another day go by. Your soul could be very much on the precipice. You could be on the very edge of a cliff. And tomorrow you could be gone into a lost eternity. Think about it. It is serious. Eternity eternity. Where will you spend eternity? God wants to save you. Jesus came down to this very earth on a rescue mission for you. And he cried out those cries on the cross, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" For you personally. And all you need to do tonight is surrender to him. Surrender to Christ. And he will save you because he loves you.